Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book on page 9, the fifth paragraph down. Today's readers are Margaret D. reading the 12 Steps, Joanne D. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Diane B., Yvonne A., and Chanel T. Our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, March 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,226 or 21226. And for this morning, March 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, the share ID is 21,228 or 21228. Our newcomer greeter today is Christina M., and giving announcements will be Shelley E. So please stay after we close the reading and sharing to hear from our newcomers and to hear announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. OA's sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover from abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Margaret D. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Here's the 12 steps. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditations to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. And would Joanne D. please read the 12 traditions of OA? Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, beautiful people. Yes, the 12 traditions of OA is anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group consciousness. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Pass.
Thank you, Joanne D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 9, paragraph 5, and I will ask Diane B. to get us started. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you, everyone who's doing service for Team Friday and everybody who's on the line today. Okay, I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right, but bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gym would last longer than his preaching. So, hi, I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. And, you know, I love all the paragraphs, so I love this paragraph, too. But what jumps up at me is this sentence that he says, I had that starry-eyed look. Because further up in the text, when we read, he was talking about when he first saw him, when Bill first saw Ebby, and he talks about the sparkle in his eye. And then here we have it again. He had that starry-eyed look. So this is something that is sticking with Bill, something that he can physically notice that's different. And oftentimes when people come back from relapse or newcomers come into the program and start working the steps, that's like one of the first things that people will notice. And I know in my experience when I came back from relapse or, you know, when I started working the steps and getting this recovery, people would comment on my eyes that something's different. Something's different about you. And they can't really pinpoint what it is, but I know that it's higher power in my life and this program working in my life. And my eyes usually shine and they're clear. They're no longer bloodshot or dreary. When I was in the food, my eyes were pretty dead because my insides, my soul was dead. And with alcoholics, oftentimes their eyes are bloodshot, their lids like lower. And so this is like one of the first things that we can see. And this is what made an impression on Bill as well. And then he says, with blessed heart, let him rant. And we find out later that Ebby does not rant. He just talks with him about what was going on in his life. And, you know, also the fact, last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. Bill didn't know what to make of this. Like, he was like, wow, this man who was a really good friend of mine and we were drunk together for so many years, now all of a sudden he's sober? Like, this is very amazing to him. And So now Bill's like really seeing the physical aspects of Ebby's recovery, and he's soon to learn about the rest aspects of his recovery. So that's what I've got. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Diane B. Okay, now it's time for our up to 3 minute shares. And let me remind you that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I am now going to listen and take down names of people who would like to share who haven't shared in the last couple of days. Who would like to put their name on the list?
Candy P. from New York.
Candy P. Okay, thank you.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A.
Christy B. in Washington State.
Christine B. from Washington State. Anyone else?
Ann B. New York.
Ann B. in New York.
Roz G.
Roz G. in California. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's
Natalie
start with...
Natalie B. in New York.
I'm sorry, Natalie, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Natalie C. in New York. Let's stop there. So I have Candy P, Barbara A, Christine B, Ann B, Roz G, and Natalie C. Please begin, Candy P. Thank you.
Hi, this is Candy P from New York. I came into OA back in 2007, and I was never able to string more than, say, 21 days of abstinence. And for me, abstinence means mostly not eating in the middle of the night. But sometime before COVID, not too long before, I was in a meeting with someone who I had been in meetings with before, and there was something very different about her. It was different in the way she shared. It was different in her whole aura. And I needed a sponsor at that time. At the end of the meeting, I asked her, after hearing her share and seeing her, I asked her if she would sponsor me, and she said we would talk, and she explained to me about vision and how she sponsored and what vision was all about, and she took me on, and she's still my sponsor to this day, but I can't say what a difference in my life it made for me. I had always said that OA was a three-legged stool, spiritual, emotional, physical, but I really didn't get it until I found the Vision Way. So I am very, very grateful to her. I am very, very grateful to my HP for staying with me. And I am very grateful to everyone who makes this meeting work. So I'm wishing everyone a fabulous weekend, regardless of the weather. And I'm thanking you all for being here every morning. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Candy P. And Barbara A., please share with us.
Good morning, fellows, and thank you so much, moderator, for your support and getting this meeting to going today. When I read Bill's story, I had listened to a podcast, and I understand that this is instruction to work the program, Bill's story is. And in Bill's story, I find out how am I similar to Bill, and do I act or behave like Bill? And this, I can really see myself in this paragraph. Yes, the old boy was on fire, but his heart, bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gym would last longer than his preaching. I remember seeing many people in this program that inspired me, and I wanted, but I was so, I didn't want to give up the food, so I wasn't going to ask him to sponsor me, because I knew if I was going to do the work, I had to give up the food. And then early in the program, years ago, I would get a sponsor, but I lied about my food. I mean, I still was so connected to that addiction, even though I saw recovery. Even though I had, you know, this white knuckle recovery myself. Today, you know, I think my current sponsor, I was beaten down just, you know, to the point where I just had to find a sponsor. And I came on this meeting, I asked someone to be my sponsor, and there it started. And I think I'm so joyous about this because someone, I mean, I've been kind of out of the sponsor thing for a couple months maybe, thinking that, oh, you know, I need more recovery or I'm not doing it right, whatever, my own self-ego sort of thing. And putting myself out there and God bringing me a sponsee to start working with. I feel like that's how we choose a sponsor. We find somebody we want, or we're so desperate we need to have somebody, and we ask them, please help us. I want what you have. I just really related today about how I had, you know, yeah, I wanted a sponsor, but I didn't want to give up my food. And finally, you know, having the courage to ask for a sponsor and do what I needed to do to get recovery. I am so grateful to share today. I wish you all a great weekend, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. from California. Christine B., please share with us. Press star one, Christine.
Hi, this is Christy B. in Washington State, and that's Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y. And I love that first sentence. I was aghast. That is so me when I came into this program. I came in 2006 to the OA program. I'd been in the beverage program before that, and the only reason I came into OA was because I knew God had removed my beverage problem. So I knew this was the answer. But boy, that God thing had me. I was an agnostic deep down to my bones. And I did not believe that God would help me. And in fact, I'm only 137 days abstinent. But I didn't know anything about entire abstinence. I mean, what was that? I thought we were just going to live our lives full of cravings and pain. And it wasn't until I heard about vision and came into vision, and actually this last time that I worked with someone, they took me quickly through the steps, the big book way, and something changed. Something changed. You know, I used to know there was some power out there somewhere, but didn't know what it was and hadn't done much for me. So what good was this, all this God talk business? And I actually almost left the program a couple of times because of that. But, you know, because I was the same way. I was aghast. I just loved that because it was so the way I was. But, boy, you get entire abstinence. You work the steps through the big book the way, you know, you guys talk about on this line. And just be open, you know. Just got to set aside all of my, you know, angst about it. And just so I used it as an experiment. Well, you know, I'll try it this way and we'll just see what happens. Well, I'm telling you, I have never experienced recovery in this way with food neutrality that I didn't even know existed, you know. And so all I had to do was put aside, you know, all those things that I thought God was and have a new experience. And that's all I've got. I pass.
Can't hear you, Kathy. Star one.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Christy B. from Washington. And Ann B., would you please unmute and share from New York? Thank you.
Hey, this is Ann B., Westchester United Intergroup, New York. And I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 19 years. And I'm thinking about when I've been in program about a year or so, and everybody was telling me I looked fantastic because I had lost all this weight. But I was puzzled. Because, you know, I joined this program when I already was like, I was 47. I had gray hair. I had wrinkles, all this stuff. And I didn't think I looked as good as I looked in college. Granted, I'm about 15 pounds less than I was in college, much less than I was before I joined the program. But I thought I probably looked good in college too, and nobody ever told me I looked good in college. And of course, I was very self-conscious. I felt I was fat. There were a lot of things I was self-conscious about my appearance. But one of my friends in my religious group said to me, well, I said to her, I don't understand why people are telling me I look fantastic because I've got gray hair and wrinkles. And when I was in college, I looked better and nobody told me I looked fantastic. And she said, well, before, you always are looking down. And now you're looking up and you're making eye contact with us and you're smiling so we can see that you're beautiful. And that's what the big book talks about in like in step five. You know, we can look everybody in the eye. And before that, I was quite paranoid. I thought, you know, if I look people in the eye, particularly men, they were going to become predatory. And so that was a psychic change, you know, that my personality changed and I had increased trust of other people because I had started telling all my deepest, darkest secrets to other people. And I had started learning that I was human and that those deep, dark secrets weren't so terrible. And so I wasn't as afraid to trust. So I will pass.
Thank you very much, Ann B. from New York. Roz G. from California, please share with us.
Okay, good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I was thinking about the last time I shared a couple of days ago about how the Ebby in my life was a woman who came to kind of a regular based OA meeting, and she came with her big book, and she was very fresh and calm, and I just was so attracted to her recovery. And now it's kind of describing what Ebby looked like, you know, and how Bill's opinion of him. And, you know, I get excited about my religion. But I've learned, you know, just over the years that in order to gain the trust of a hurting newcomer sponsee, it's best to start talking to them about my disease and what it did to me versus my religious beliefs. And when I, you know, it says in the big book, you gain the confidence of another alcoholic when you share what it's been like for you. And so, you know, speaking of being, you know, bright-eyed and looking good or whatever, I get a lot of compliments. People cannot believe how old I am. They say, "You're kidding me." And I just attribute it to this, you know, how good that the steps teach me to treat myself with, you know, good eating and exercise and getting in the sun and just having good relationships and getting enough rest. That causes, you know, my body to respond in a very good way. So I do shine, and I ask God to, you know, in my third step prayer, let your light shine in me, you know, in my own written third step prayer, so that, you know, it's bright and that I can be helpful to others. And people tell me these things. So anyway, just saying that it's better for me to talk about the acid indigestion problems, the surgeries I had over injuring my body from over-exercising, exercising to make up for what I ate, and all the emotional problems that I had, because then I gain the confidence and trust. And when when I'm working those first three steps through all those conversations, when step four finally comes, a bridge of trust has been established, whether I'm sponsoring someone or whether I'm sponsoring me. So I like how Bill says I was aghast. So it's kind of a direction for me not to get too excited about my religious beliefs when I'm sharing with them. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Natalie C. from New York, please share with us.
Hi, my name's Natalie. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I was aghast because of all the weight I had gained. And I couldn't believe it, and I just wouldn't stop eating. I would eat into the night. So when I saw, it was like a higher power or thing. When I saw an ad in the paper, not an ad, but an article, about somebody doing an overeater. I just couldn't believe it. So I just, when I went and I sat in the meetings, and I just believed, like somebody else said, I was part of another program. So I knew that the miracle could occur. So I just sat in the meetings. They had meetings, and I just sat there and waited and waited and waited for it to happen. It took a little while, but I'm still not, the obsession comes sometimes if I'm out and I come home and I just have to eat. I don't know, it's not time to, maybe I can practice the pause a little bit there or have some trigger for a recovery process to take place. But it's a lot better, and I do, like the other people have been talking about, just trust in your higher power and everything is okay. And I'm gaining a little bit back, but it's still way, 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 way better I was starting to have physical problems, and now I can walk easier, tie my shoes, you know, go out. And the motivation, though, I think of listening to the people, the motivation of just doing things that I have to get done every day is tremendous. So that I don't have to think that, oh, despair. Everything is, so I'm glad to listen to you guys. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Natalie C. from New York. Okay, for those of you who may have come on late, we are sharing on the paragraph in Bill's story, page 9, the fifth paragraph on the page, which begins with, I was aghast. And I'm going to take some more names of people who would like to share today. Who would like to share?
Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Okay,
Denise Kathleen. C. from Tennessee.
Diane M.C. from Chicago.
Okay, one second. I got Kathleen and Diane. I did not get the second person. Can you tell me again your name?
Denise C. from Tennessee.
Denise, is that right?
Yes. Denise,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Who else?
Christy
would like
K.,
to...
Washington State.
Okay, Christy K. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Okay, so we'll go ahead with these. Kathleen D., Denise C., Diane M.C., and Christy K. Please share with us, Kathleen D. from Illinois.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois, claiming my seat today. I was thinking about this. You know, when I read this paragraph today, I thought how arrogant Bill was. You know, I didn't really relate to that arrogance until this meeting has carried on, and I recalled my own arrogance. In hearing certain messages, in an OA. But I also could relate to this experience of Bill seeing Ebby in this light where he's starry-eyed and there's a light that's shining from him. I've been in OA since the 90s. I attended for a few years and then left and came back in 2010. So I've been going regularly in OA until 2010, from 2010 until now. And it's been, it has not been a straight line. It's kind of been the circular way around, but I have been coming and continually coming, even though I did not get this message at all when I first came here. I just was a person who needed, you know, God knew what I needed and sent me to OA. I wasn't even sure myself, but in 2015, I got free from what I called recreational sugar. And, but still, I was still struggling with different foods. And I never felt like I always felt kind of like a fraud of some sort, even though I had this miracle of getting free from this, candies and cakes and all of those kind of things. But still struggling with other foods. But in 2020, a woman that I went to these meetings with, all the time I knew of her in these meetings, she was always struggling with her weight. She came regularly and for several years. And then around 2020, I hadn't seen her for a while. And I saw her at a meeting and I saw her. She was different. She had lost some weight, but the thing that really struck me was that there was a light in her face. There was a joy in her demeanor, and I could not deny that. I noted that. And she talked about what her practice was in one of the meetings that we attended together. And she said she listened to this meeting in the morning and she did writing and she did reading. And I thought, my God, it must take her hours to get going in the morning to do all this, you know, listening to this meeting and writing and praying. How does she do that? Well, I was so taken by her, I thought, vision for you. And as we started to go into the COVID, I was home a lot, of course, with everyone else. And I thought, I'm going to start listening to these meetings. And I did, kind of casually, whenever I could. And but I heard this message, and I heard a prayer. And the prayer was, I learned this prayer, the set-aside prayer. Now, at this time, in my OA experience, I was just floundering. I didn't want to sponsor people anymore, and I was just kind of tired of it, and I just didn't want to do the work. And so I heard this about vision. I started listening. Several months later, I continued to pray this prayer that I learned in the meeting, a vision meeting, the set-aside prayer. I wrote that prayer down. I put it in my mirror. I asked God to help me have this new experience. I didn't even know I needed a new experience in a way, but I said this prayer. Oh, with that, I'll pass. And anyhow, I found a new experience and an open mind from that prayer. And my life really did change through this vision message. And so I am very grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen B. Denise B. from Tennessee, please share with us. Denise, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm sorry, Denise B. from Tennessee. I joined OA in 2021. It was during the pandemic, and I contacted a person about a meeting. And she was my Abby. She was so kind and so loving, and she talked to me, I'm sure, for over 30 or 40 minutes. She told me about, I went to the meeting. The first time I listened to the OA members and the readings, I knew for the first time in my life I was at home. I had finally found the place and the people that would understand me. And they never beat me over the head with religion. They just embraced me, let me ask questions, let me flounder until I finally realized, and like, wake up, Denise, you need to get a sponsor. And things started to change for me. And I'm just so thankful how they embraced me lovingly, and they didn't chastise me or anything like that. They just accepted me. And I'm very thankful. And I'm just also very thankful for a vision. A vision has really changed my life, changed my attitude, the way I look at things and my experiences. And I'm just glad to be a part of the herd. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Denise C. Diane M.C. from California. Diane, press star 1 to unmute.
Oh, there. Sorry, I was talking to myself. This is Diane M.C. in Chicago. That first sentence, I was aghast. Phil can be so descriptive. But really, you know, I don't think he was being melodramatic. Abby had been transformed. You know, he couldn't deny what he was seeing in front of him. And you guys remind me how, you know, it's about people are attracted to the program by us. It's not so much our words, although that is necessary. My introduction to OA came at a religious three-day retreat where there was someone working the program. And I, too, was aghast just watching this person living a recovered life, especially around lots and lots of food. but eventually I went to her and asked what she did to have such peace and serenity around food. And so eventually, you know, she did put it into words. Words are important. You know, she told me about OA, where I could go to a meeting. But it started by me watching her for 3 days, watching her use tools and work the program. She was taking her recovery just so seriously. And that was my introduction to OA. It is attraction, not promotion, that really is what I noticed so much. And eventually the words came, where she put into words what I needed to hear. So that transformation just really stuck out for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane MC. Christy K, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Christy K from Washington State. But I haven't shared in a while, and I had committed to my sponsor that I would share once a week on this meeting. And so we were talking last night about being needing to be a woman of integrity. So that really struck home with me. So I'm recommitting to myself and my sponsor to share at least once a week on this meeting. So I kind of look at this paragraph in two ways. One was when Bill talked about the starry-eyed look in Ebby's eyes. And I remember when I went to my first ever OA meeting, and that was something I noticed about the people who were recovered when they shared, when I was aware that they were recovered. Their eyes were clear, and they definitely had that starry-eyed look, and they kind of glowed. I could see the comparison against the folks who shared that they were not recovered, the difference in how they looked, and that I was so drawn to that because I noticed that everything about them was different, and that's exactly what I wanted. The second way is when Bill talks about letting Ebby rant. When I'd have family members talk to me because they were really concerned about my weight and how I was eating, I always thought people didn't know what I was doing with the binging and the hiding of food, but my family knew. So they would try and talk with me, and they would do it very respectfully. But when they were doing it, I wasn't paying attention. In my head, I was thinking about what I was going to eat next, where and how I was going to get the food and not get caught. And that was my focus, not what they were trying to share about me because they were worried about me. These were people who cared about me and wanted more from me, but I was just so in my head and I guess just thinking about what I wanted for me and not really concerned about what they were saying. So it just was so important to me when I went to my first week meeting and I saw how healthy and they shined and they glowed. That's what really struck me and really kept me coming back to OA. So thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Christy K. from Washington. We have time for two shares. Who would like to share?
Rena, New Jersey.
Rena, okay.
Jody, Jan S. Jody, what's your last initial? H. Okay, great. Thank you. Go ahead, Rena from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service. Rena in New Jersey, gratefully abstinent so far today. And I'm grateful for the people who brought OA into my life and to have support. It's 10:44 a.m. on the East Coast, so this meeting is really important for me in terms of removing anxiety from my life, and I realize that my 10 a.m., my urges to eat during the 10 a.m. hour has more to do with my memories of stress from the past and habits that I had around the 10 a.m. hour in my life. And now instead of going to the food, I'm just using my tools and depending on the fellowship, depending on God. So now this is my hour to lean on God, to lean on program for what I need for the solution. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rena. And Jody H., you'll be our last share today. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jody H., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I haven't been on Vision for a long time, but basically I believe God brought me to Vision and during COVID and in 2000, I believe it was 20. And Vision, through the different sponsors I had and the support and the big book and this program and being here on this meeting, really, it taught me all about myself. I was desperate. You know, I did not know how to eat. I didn't know about my body. I didn't understand my addictions. And it was just such a revelation. And the people who have sponsored me over the years, you know, have been God's sent. Each one I've learned special things from, whether it was a short time and it didn't work out or whether it was a long time. And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. And I came to a new situation a few years ago, becoming my mother's caregiver 24/7. And it was a difficult time for me. But yet I knew, in fact, there were people in Vision who I'd gotten to be friends with who still stayed in contact with me, even though I was struggling because I was now around people who could have those foods that I couldn't have. And it was a struggle for me. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's ever been there for me on this program and for those of you who do service on the program. I've now been abstinent for 3 weeks, and I'm just so grateful for what I've learned and that now thankful to my higher power, my God, and this program and the support of wonderful people who stood by me in my difficult times. I'm able to say that, you know, I feel good now, you know what I mean? So thank you again, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jody H. Now, we do have time for one more brief share if anyone has the desire. Would anyone like to share today? Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Yvonne A., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello, I'd like to share.
Well, okay, you have 1 minute. Go ahead. Who is this?
I'm Phil, compulsive overeater. Sorry, okay. I couldn't get the unmute button to go.
Okay, go ahead. You have 1 minute. Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to express my gratitude for this program. You know, today I've been able to remain abstinent, and you know, I haven't indulged in any of the horrendous compulsive behaviors for some time now. And I was talking with my sponsor last night about just the fact that that's a miracle and just trying to celebrate that. I should try to perfect things and get better and better and better. But, you know, what I'm learning is I need to focus on the fact that I have been free of that compulsive behavior, and just try to appreciate that in the here and now. So that's what I've gotten. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Phil. We're celebrating with you and keep coming back. Okay, may I now ask Yvonne A. to read the closing reading. Thank you, Yvonne.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy, for an awesome meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.